Ever found yourself staring at the ceiling, wondering if your best work is still buried inside you? You're not alone. Todd Henry's Die Empty isn't just another productivity manual. It's a wake-up call that has resonated with everyone from Fortune 500 executives to creative professionals. After Oprah Winfrey featured it in her Super Soul Sunday recommendations, the book sparked a movement of professionals refusing to take their best ideas to the grave. What makes this philosophy so compelling is its stark reminder. The most valuable land in the world isn't Manhattan real estate or Middle Eastern oil fields. It's the cemetery, filled with unrealized dreams, unwritten novels, and unlaunched businesses from people who ran out of tomorrows. Henry's message isn't about working yourself to death today, but ensuring that when your time comes, you've given your gifts to the world, rather than hoarding them out of fear, comfort, or indecision. How much work did you do today that you'll be proud of tomorrow? This question forms the foundation of Henry's philosophy. We often confuse activity with accomplishment, filling our days with tasks while postponing the work that truly matters. The result? A growing collection of unrealized potential that we promise to address someday. This isn't just about career advancement, it's about contribution. Your work encompasses any value you create using your focus, time, and energy. Whether you're developing software, raising children, or volunteering in your community, your contribution is the tangible evidence of how you've spent your limited time on Earth. What makes this concept so powerful is its universality. Everyone, regardless of position or profession, struggles with the gap between what they're capable of and what they actually produce. The most successful people aren't necessarily the most talented. They're the ones who consistently bridge this gap through daily, intentional practice. Henry distinguishes between three types of work that comprise our contribution. Mapping involves planning and setting priorities that align with our values. Making is the actual execution, creating tangible value through tasks and objectives. Meshing encompasses developing new skills and cultivating curiosity that positions us for future effectiveness. The most successful contributors, whom Henry calls developers, balance all three types, while most of us fall into patterns that neglect at least one area. Drivers excel at planning and execution, but neglect skill development. Drifters create and learn, but lack strategic direction. Dreamers love planning but rarely execute. Understanding which profile describes you is the first step toward becoming a developer who creates a meaningful body of work without regrets. The urgency comes from recognizing that your time is finite. As Henry puts it, the cost of regret is incalculable. When you realize that tomorrow isn't guaranteed, today's choices take on profound significance. Nobody charts a course for mediocrity. We arrive there through a series of small, seemingly inconsequential decisions that accumulate over time. Henry identifies seven deadly sins that lead talented people to settle for less than their potential. Aimlessness is perhaps the most common. Many talented professionals lack a central theme to their work, shooting blindfolded at an invisible target. Even accidental success brings little satisfaction because it stems from chance rather than strategy. The antidote is defining the battles worth fighting each day and focusing efforts on those above all else. Boredom often signals readiness for breakthrough, your mind growing weary of its current patterns. Rather than distracting yourself with entertainment, applied curiosity can transform this restlessness into innovation. When we feel bored, we typically reach for our phones instead of asking deeper questions that might lead to new insights. Comfort becomes dangerous when it's life's primary goal. Like organizations that protect existing products at the expense of innovation, individuals who prioritize stability over growth eventually stagnate. The most fulfilled professionals deliberately disrupt their own comfort, recognizing that growth happens at the edges of their capabilities. Delusion manifests as lack of self-awareness. Like talent show contestants shocked by rejection despite obvious lack of ability, we often misjudge our strengths and weaknesses. Adding your best value requires accurate self-assessment and orienting your activities around this self-knowledge rather than wishful thinking. Ego prevents learning from failure. Some find failure stigma unbearable, preferring to spin failures into successes or deny them entirely. They become inflexible and unwilling to learn because ego stands in their way. Countermanding ego requires adaptability, maintaining continual learning and openness to correction. Fear thrives on the unknown, with paralyzing effects rooted more in imagination than reality. The key to overcoming fear is instilling practices of strategic, intentional risk-taking, experimenting, playing, and finding your voice through small chances to express yourself. Guardedness leads to isolation. When pressures mount, relationships are often the first casualty. We neglect them or let tensions build until isolation feels easier. Yet great work happens most consistently in community contexts, where others can provide feedback, encouragement, and accountability. These sins cause us to neglect essential work types: mapping, making, and meshing. The best defense is an at-ready offense, deliberately identifying and eliminating these sins whenever they appear in your life and work. The common advice to follow your passion can actually lead to confusion and aimlessness. When we frame career choices as if we are the center of the world, seeking only joy or fulfillment, we ask the wrong questions. Henry suggests a radical reframing. Instead of asking what would bring me enjoyment, we should ask, what work am I willing to suffer for today? The word passion comes from the Latin pati, meaning to suffer or endure, quite different from our casual usage. Great work requires suffering for something beyond yourself, bending your life around a mission worthy of your best effort. Productive passion takes three forms. First, compassionate anger stems from suffering with others, recognizing injustice or underserved markets and stepping into their battle. This doesn't necessarily mean addressing social ills. It could be serving any group whose needs aren't being met. Second, obsession develops when you become captivated by problems you're uniquely equipped to solve. Throughout history, many people engaged in missions they might have preferred to avoid, but became obsessed with solving problems they were positioned to tackle. Their passion followed action, not vice versa. Third, hope and aspiration drive contribution when you see your work as a platform for something greater. NFL Hall of Famer Curtis Martin revealed he never liked football or running, yet became one of history's greatest running backs because his passion wasn't for the game, but for the platform it provided to help single mothers and children from broken homes. Finding your battles means identifying what truly matters to you, what you're willing to suffer for, and carefully allocating your focus, time, and energy accordingly. There are battles only you are equipped to fight, and you probably already know what some of them are. All great accomplishments begin with questions. Why? How? What if? While curiosity comes naturally to children, adults often lose this sense of wonder as our minds form patterns that help us process information efficiently but also create conceptual boxes. Many professionals become what Henry calls the busily bored, highly productive but mentally stagnant. They meet expectations and crank through work, but they're bored underneath it all. They no longer find their work stimulating and are just going through motions. They're not stretching their minds, acknowledging deeper questions, or challenging limiting assumptions. Modern technology has trained us to fill every moment of boredom with entertainment. When slightly bored, we immediately check social media, email, or browse websites for distraction. Yet many breakthrough ideas emerge in those spaces between commitments, moments of downtime that now get filled with digital noise. To integrate applied curiosity into your life, you need a system, parcels of structured curiosity that don't interfere with urgent work. Keep a list of questions that intrigue you, from the profound to the mundane. Set aside dedicated time to pursue these questions, building what Henry calls hunting trails that lead to new insights. Create a bliss station, a sacred space dedicated to pursuing what evokes your sense of wonder. As Joseph Campbell advised, you must have a room or a certain hour or so a day where you don't know what was in the newspapers that morning. This is the place of creative incubation. When facing creative blocks, redefine the problem by examining four elements: aspirations, what does this want to become? Affinities, what is this problem like? Assumptions, what limits am I placing on myself? And attributes, what specific characteristics define this issue? This mental play may feel inefficient, but it helps uncover overlooked areas of thought where the best ideas often hide. Our biology wires us to seek comfort, but growth requires challenging this instinct regularly. Left unchecked, we naturally default toward comfortable paths. Surfing the web instead of strategizing, watching TV instead of exercising, avoiding difficult conversations. Rather than asking what you do on your last day alive, which removes responsibility, imagine someone following you tomorrow, documenting your every action for a definitive book about your life. How would you behave differently? Most people admit they'd be more intentional, attentive, and purposeful, revealing the gap between how we live and our own standards of excellence. Growth doesn't happen in our comfort zone. It's painful, messy, and uncomfortable, requiring us to stretch beyond what's expected. The accusation that keeps many from acting on uncertain opportunities is, "Who do you think you are?" But chasing safety ultimately becomes suffocating and leads to creative death. Many people wait for permission to act on their intuition, refusing to move until gatekeepers approve. Seth Godin argues that excellence isn't about working extra hard to do what you're told. It's about taking the initiative to do work you decide is worth doing. Don't wait for someone to hand you a map. Make your own. Growth requires intentional effort through three types of nested goals: step goals, daily actions maintaining forward progress, sprint goals, medium arc goals over 1 to 2 weeks that increase capacity, and stretch goals, long arc objectives forcing you beyond comfort zones. Step goals help accomplish sprint goals, which help accomplish stretch goals. The approach resembles Jerry Seinfeld's success secret of "don't break the chain," marking each day he wrote jokes on a calendar, creating an unbroken sequence of daily progress. You should always have at least one stretch goal, ideally across multiple life areas: business/work, mental, relational, and personal/spiritual. No matter your past, today establishes a new vector for your life. Like the story of the 50-year-old man who thought he was too old to learn piano, it's never too late to begin again or change direction. The hard truth is that you cannot pursue greatness and comfort simultaneously. The stories we tell ourselves create a framework through which we interpret events. These narratives can either motivate our best work or limit and destroy it. Understanding our deeply held beliefs and how they affect our daily activities is crucial for sustained success. Children naturally identify with and emulate the superpowers of their heroes. As adults, we can unlock our abilities by consciously emulating positive attributes we admire in others. When someone's qualities intimidate you, it's often a signal pointing to areas where you need to grow. Rather than retreating, lean into this fear. Pay attention to what resonates with you. Moments when you experience a quickening pulse and intense excitement when someone speaks or creates something that deeply connects with you. These resonance moments provide valuable clues about your path to unique work. Keep a notebook to record these instances, noting context, source, and your thoughts. We become coded with assumptions about how the world works and our capabilities, often based on early experiences with work or parental examples. These beliefs can invisibly limit our effectiveness for years. To approach work effectively, scan your life for these limiting beliefs through daily reflection, pattern identification, and seeking feedback. Instead of relying on passive values, transform them into an active code of ethics, operating instructions that define how you'll engage daily. This code guides decisions, interactions, and difficult choices proactively. When feeling stagnant in his strategic work, Henry created an ethic with four principles: artistic, revealing hidden truth; curious, asking probing questions; healthy, championing well-being; and energizing, adding more energy than he took. True authenticity matters more than fabricating a personal brand. You can't sustain yourself long-term on others' approval. You need something more foundational about your place in the world. As Branders.com CEO Jerry McLaughlin discovered through experience, living inauthentically forges chains that bind you. The key is moving forward despite uncertainty rather than seeking perfect answers. Confidence and adaptability prevent an inflated ego from stalling progress on your most important work. An inflated ego isn't always the stereotypical bombast demanding attention. Often, it manifests as a deep conviction of being right regardless of others' opinions, manipulating conversations, or strategically withholding effort when not properly recognized. Our instinct when facing uncertainty is to create rules that regulate behavior. Organizations follow this same pattern, establishing regulations after one-time incidents. However, these accumulating rules remove personal accountability and eventually become meaningless residue that inhibits creativity. At the heart of this rulemaking is our need for control. Rather than controlling situations through stringent rules or inserting ourselves into every decision, we should strive for influence, helping organizations think and act effectively. Control feeds our ego and desire to feel central to our environment. People with victim mindsets blame others for their lack of progress while withholding value as passive-aggressive retribution. This approach actually surrenders career control to others. While workplace unfairness exists, allowing others' behavior to dictate your engagement means abdicating control. Rising workplace cynicism creates fear of criticism. Many respond by overcomplicating their work to appear sophisticated. This confusion between value and complexity is dangerous. Unnecessary complexity reduces solution value by solving non-existent problems, wasting focus and creative energy. At the heart of this rulemaking is our need for control. Rather than controlling situations through stringent rules or inserting ourselves into every decision, we should strive for influence, helping organizations think and act effectively. Control feeds our ego and desire to feel central to our environment. People with victim mindsets blame others for their lack of progress while withholding value as passive-aggressive retribution. This approach actually surrenders career control to others. While workplace unfairness exists, allowing others' behavior to dictate your engagement means abdicating control. Rising workplace cynicism creates fear of criticism. Many respond by overcomplicating their work to appear sophisticated. This confusion between value and complexity is dangerous. Unnecessary complexity reduces solution value by solving non-existent problems, wasting focus and creative energy. You should be aggressively confident in your abilities and opinions, fighting to have your work seen and utilized without compromising. The difference between confidence and an overinflated ego is that confident people take stands for the work and what's right, while ego-inflated people focus on perception and credit. An overinflated ego focuses on protection, while confidence drives progression. Confident people stand for their beliefs without feeling personally attacked by disagreements. They maintain a beginner's mindset while assertively pursuing great work. Preventing ego inflation requires regular self-examination. Where am I putting myself ahead of the work? Where do I feel slighted over small inconveniences? Where am I assuming success? Approaching work with "what can I offer" rather than "what can I get" transforms your engagement and helps combat ego inflation. Steve Martin once observed that his 18-year comedy career included 10 years learning, 4 years refining, and 4 years of success, a plodding rather than heroic journey to find his voice. The principle here is finding your voice and conquering failure fear through small, calculated daily risks. Many people audit their work life like university students taking courses without grades. They're present and may even succeed in their careers, but they avoid actively seeking opportunities to do better, more unique work. They're not engaging in the difficult process necessary to find their voice. Many engage in shadow pursuits, activities that provide accomplishment but substitute for work they know they should be doing. As Julia Cameron notes, these are common among those who secretly long to be artists but choose careers adjacent to arts without requiring the same risk or self-revelation. These substitutes can become so convincing that we build entire lives pursuing what doesn't truly matter to us. Illustrator Lauren Long performed well in art classes but couldn't envision making a living as an artist until switching to graphic design after seeing successful contemporary illustrators. Despite external success as a freelance artist, Long grew tired of the pace. While creating cover art for young adult books, he experienced an epiphany. "I'm a storyteller!" This led to illustrating children's picture books, working with Madonna and President Obama, and illustrating a new edition of The Little Engine That Could. The popular radio show Radiolab wasn't launched with a crystal clear vision, but evolved through years of trial, error, and intuitive leaps. Creator Jad Abumrad describes discovering the show's voice through tiny moments he could have never predicted. One night, while experimenting with sounds, he found a combination that resonated. It was like being lost in the dark, and then an arrow appears that says, "Follow me." To find your voice, plan for experimentation by setting aside weekly time to prototype and explore without expectations. Apply seemingly irrelevant skills to current problems. Open your eyes to intuitive flashes that quickly fade unless you follow where they lead. And don't withhold insights because they seem too shallow. Brilliant work doesn't need to be complex, as the deepest truths often hide in plain sight. Cover bands don't change the world because they play others' music without adding anything unique. While imitation is valuable for early skill development, you can't rely on it forever. To add lasting value, you must eventually take risks and experiment with your own expression. We are not wired for isolation. From our earliest moments, we understand our place through interactions with others who help us stay aligned and bring out our best. Though relationships can be challenging, disconnecting, especially during hectic times, is the worst response. Despite myths of lone geniuses, most great work happens in community contexts. Few people stay aligned and engaged without others fueling their passions. Two common mistakes that lead to decreased effectiveness are avoidance and squashing conflict. With ongoing relationships and predictable interactions, it's easy to defer important conversations to a more convenient time, especially uncomfortable ones involving tension or ideas not tied to current projects. This avoidance drives wedges into relationships and increases future challenges. Many organizations falsely believe tension and conflict signal an unhealthy team. In reality, effective teams include people willing to fight for ideas, challenge others, and stand their ground, while ultimately being willing to bend and submit to leadership decisions. Steve Jobs compared great teamwork to rock tumbling. Ordinary stones become beautiful through friction and noise. To maximize your contribution, you must pursue relationships with the same diligence and urgency as your work. Find mirrors, trusted individuals who have permission to speak truth to you, providing confidence because others are watching out for you. Set up regular time to connect with these mirrors, being ruthlessly honest about your progress and challenges. Teams often communicate only the bare essentials, excelling at discussing tasks but failing to address intangible factors affecting workflow. 5 specific conversations can bring clarity, focus, and trust. The clarity conversation, combating dissonance by bringing alignment. The expectations conversation, eliminating ambiguity about what's required. The fear conversation, exposing unspoken fears and neutralizing them. The engagement conversation, identifying patterns of energy and enthusiasm, and the final 10% conversation, uncovering feedback others might not volunteer unless specifically asked. Be intentional with relationships, treating them as opportunities to serve and be served. Be generous, aggressively honest, and close open loops daily to avoid regrets. Like astronauts in Apollo 13, who had to keep Earth visible through a tiny window to stay on course, navigating toward our objectives requires constant adjustment to avoid drifting. While many productivity systems recommend weekly reviews, daily checkpoints provide more frequent course corrections. The EMPTY process is a 5-step daily checkpoint to help you scan your life for potential action points and position yourself to do work you'll be proud of later. Taking just 10 to 15 minutes each day, this process helps you determine how to engage your day and predetermine how to handle obstacles. E. Focus on your ethics. Begin by writing down your code of ethics, the words that define how you'll engage your work each day. Review today's appointments and commitments, considering how you'll apply your ethic to each one. M. Focus on your mission. As you survey your daily commitments, ask yourself what change will exist today because of your efforts. Define what success looks like for today, recognizing that big success comes from a string of daily wins. P. Focus on people. Your relationships are critical opportunities to add and receive value. Consider who you'll interact with today, taking a moment to think about what you value about each person. T. Focus on tasks. Progress requires engaging your tasks with urgency and diligence. Determine what absolutely must get done today and block off dedicated time on your calendar for your most important work. Y. Focus on you. In the fray of daily work, it's easy to lose track of yourself. Commit to doing something today that will develop you, learning a new skill, tackling a passion project, or pursuing a specific curiosity. When asked, "What do you do?" most people respond with a noun, "I'm an accountant," rather than a verb describing their actual work. This reflects a common confusion between the container for our work, the job, and the actual work itself. Your job is merely a collection of activities that allow you to add value to the world, with some activities adding disproportionately more value than others. The key is to fall in love with the process, not just the end product of your work. A writer writes regardless of accolades. A designer creates order from chaos, regardless of recognition. The process is the only thing you can truly control, and implementing daily checkpoints ensures you're doing what truly matters. Viktor Frankl, imprisoned in Nazi concentration camps during World War II, observed that captives who ascribed meaning to their suffering fared best amid atrocity. After surviving internment and losing his family, Frankl argued that hopelessness stems from an existential vacuum, the void people experience without understanding their deeper purpose. He insisted we must stop asking what we expect from life and instead ask what life expects from us. Purpose and meaning aren't discovered through contemplation, but through action. The paralyzing desire to be seen as great can prevent meaningful action. Instead, focus on finding interesting work where you can make a difference, excel at what matters to you, and leave obsession with arbitrary scorecards to others. Measure your work by daily progress on what matters, not by others' perceptions. The lag, that gap between cause and effect, between planting and harvesting, explains why so many creative projects remain unfinished. During this period when work yields little visible reward, only three things keep you moving forward: confidence in your vision, the discipline to say no to distractions, and daily, diligent, urgent progress. Optimism expects progress through effort, while wishful thinking merely hopes everything works out. The optimist actively works to bring about desired outcomes. The wishful thinker externalizes responsibility. Excellence requires building a platform that creates opportunities, not waiting for them to be handed to you. Many people experience merry-go-round conversations, repeatedly expressing frustration about work, relationships, or life while doing little to change their circumstances. They know what to do, but fear making decisions, instead pushing them into the future and hoping for circumstances to magically improve. When you know what to do but lack conviction to act, you risk too much. If you ignore your inner convictions enough times, you eventually lose your sense of self. The most dangerous place is the gray zone, where you've developed enough capacity to be comfortable but no longer stretch beyond your comfort zone. You get the feeling of accomplishment without the benefits of strategic discomfort. Don't settle for giving just enough to get by. Respect yourself enough to spend yourself fully on worthy problems. Your life will be measured by what you gave, not what you received. Don't hold out on the rest of us. We need your contribution. Engage today with urgency, plant seeds daily for future harvest, and live as if today is all you have. Then you'll die empty of regret, but full of satisfaction for a life well lived.